program develops great teammates and leaders to create world-class teams and has the privilege of working with more than 160 collegiate and professional athletic teams and corporations throughout North America annually. Welcome to our On the Attack podcast, where our most senior program leadership instructors draw from years of experience working with hundreds of clients and briefly share their powerful insights and thoughts on relevant team building and leadership development challenges. Today, myself, Mac, and my teammate Omri, we're going to talk about leaders having the team's best interests at heart. Omri, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, please. So first off, fired up to do this episode for a couple of reasons. Main one being, this tends to be a topic that we constantly cover. So we are a leadership development company, right? This is one of the things that we take pride in. And ultimately, through at this point, coming on our 16th year of business as a company, our reference pool for common issues and hot topics that we'll come across when we work with teams, let's put it this way, our database to offer solutions is quite broad because we've gone to see a lot of examples throughout the years. One of the things that is very common when it comes to issues that come up with leadership on teams is the wrong person in that driver's seat. Because by default, we've seen a lot of teams that just put their most talented athletes in that leadership role. And experience has shown that that isn't necessarily the best person for that job. So before we kick this off, Mac, how about you break down? Let's take a step back here. If somebody wants to lead, or what defines the best leader for our team in your mind?
You know, well, first of all, leadership is one thing. Leadership is influence. That's not us. That's a John Maxwell quote. Leadership is influence, but further, a leader is somebody who has influence. They have the ability to use that influence. They have to be effective communicators. Leading by example does not work. They have to have the ability to use that influence, and they have to have the desire to use their influence to help the team accomplish the mission, to make decisions with the team's best interests at heart. In order to be an effective leader, you have to check all three of those boxes. And what a lot of teams do is they just look at that first box, just that influence piece. Now, yes, in order to be an effective leader organization, you have to have influence. That's a non-starter. You have to have juice in that locker room. Otherwise, you're just not going to be very effective as a leader. People aren't going to listen to you. Now, we get that influence in a couple places. Let's be real, though. The field, court, ice, whatever our battlefield is, that's far and away where we get the majority of our influence, right? But it's not the only place. There are teams we'll work with, who we work with athletes who, frankly, don't see the field or court that much, but they just have that it factor. They have influence. It's not just that they're nice kids. No, they have juice in that locker room. And even though they might not be the top performers, you can tell just by meeting them that they're going to make a lot of money someday. They're going to be very successful. Maybe they just don't have the talent to compete in that particular sport. But again, they have that it factor. They have influence right in that locker room. But a lot of times with a lot of teams, they just go with the first part. The most influential athlete, who a lot of times is the top performer, right? The all-conference player, the top scorer. And by nature, they just designate them to be the leader of the team. Now, coming from the military, when we look at leadership positions in the military, your leader, your unit, isn't necessarily your best shooter, your best runner. Now, as leaders, we have to be competent at all those things, right? But I don't think in any of my units, I was the fastest runner or the best shooter. I was pretty good at everything, but I wasn't the best, but that's not why I was there, right? I was there to help our team, my unit, help accomplish the mission, to be able to use my influence. You have thoughts on that, Omri?
I do, because this right there is huge. And for us, one of the things that we'll always discuss is, look, as you said, we need influence to be even a part of the conversation when it comes to leadership. We need the ability to effectively communicate because that's how we're going to be able to use our influence, right? The team's best interest part for me is almost the most important. Because, I mean, again, you wouldn't be a part of the conversation if you didn't have influence and you didn't know how to communicate. However, there's some things that we can do to affect influence. There's some things that we can do to develop and things that we do to develop a person's ability to effectively communicate. We can't teach desire. And ultimately, when there's people that are extremely influential on our roster, but they lack the desire to use that influence with the team's best interest, make no mistake about it. That influence is being used in some direction, but that direction might be what's going on Saturday night at the bars or negatively affecting the team. So making sure that we're putting the right person in that driver's seat as a leader, right? Whether it's a captain, a leadership council, whatever it may be, it's crucial that that desire piece is aligned. And to that, a lot of times we'll hear, well, one of the most common issues that we'll hear is, you know, we placed X athlete in that leadership position because, quite frankly, we're afraid of the outcome and their poor attitude if, say, we don't put them in a leadership position. And to that, our answer is always very clear. It's that is the definition of a person that should not be holding a leadership position on our team. I'm not going to put anyone in, I'm not going to give the keys to my program to anyone out of fear that if I don't, they'll ruin it. That's, we need to talk about the way you recruit people, if that's where we're at. But that to me is one of those easily avoided, yet we see it all the time. And that is one of the first ways for you to prevent yourself from dealing with some heavy scenarios down the road. Because, hey, when do these things come up? When do these issues reveal themselves? When the pressure is on. If you're a competitive team, when is the pressure on? Well, usually when you don't have much time to address it. It's March Madness. Now it's time to go. It's the World Series. It's what, name whatever pinnacle part of your season, right? So that for me is, that's the biggest no-no. Now we'll figure out how to manage that. We'll figure out how to keep those individuals happy and still promise to develop them. But we're not putting those people in a position just because we're afraid of a bad attitude. The second thing that we'll see is, and this is a way to filter the wrong candidates, is roles and responsibilities. So what exactly does it mean to be a leader on the team? Mac, how about you elaborate on that point exactly? What does it mean? What does it mean to be a leader? What are roles? What are responsibilities?
Yeah, I think with a lot of teams, I think they have it, frankly, backwards, you know, where just like you said before, the leader is the best player and captain turns into a more of a thanks for your service type award. Like, all right, somebody's a senior and they've been performing really well. Well, here's your C. Congratulations. You get to be on the cover of the media guide. And well, who doesn't want that? Everyone will want that. Really, what leadership is, as a leader, you are responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen in your unit. You're responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen. And coaches know that. I'm sure plenty of coaches on here, you're hearing about it from your AD because a 19-year-old threw the ball out of bounds or made a bad decision on Saturday night. Oh, you're responsible though, because as a leader, you're responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen. So why do we expect different out of our captains? Too many programs, captain is just, again, it's just it's an attaboy, right? It's you get to wear the C in your jersey, you get the privileges that come with it. But what we expect of our leaders is for them to use their influence to help our team accomplish the mission. And not everyone should want that. There are plenty of athletes going back to the, you know, the three things. You got to have influence, the ability to use it, and the desire to use that influence. We have plenty of athletes who do not check that third box. They do not have the desire to use their influence. They have the desire to be great players. They have the desire, some of them even, to be great teammates. They're great people. They do not have the desire to use their influence to help their teammates out. Meaning, there's going to be times they don't want to be held accountable for the actions of somebody else when they feel like they did a perfectly good job. Some people don't want that. It doesn't make them bad people. But putting them in a leadership role, we end up getting frustrated. They end up getting frustrated because a lot of times those roles and responsibilities aren't clearly explained. So one of the things we recommend is, however we choose leaders, and we can talk about that process, but however we choose to do it, we make sure that, well, our potential leaders understands what their roles and responsibilities as a leader is.
So essentially what we're saying here is leadership is a heavy title, and there's a lot of responsibility that's associated with it. If all that leadership means is you get the interviews at the end of the game, you get to select where the team eats if we win. You can select where you eat if you lose as well. We're not recommending people starve athletes if, you know, they don't do well. But the reality is, if that's all captaincy means, why wouldn't everyone want to be a captain? There's no burden associated with the command. And the reality is, the burden of command, the burden of leadership, is a real thing. If you have the right person in place, though, they also understand that the command is the privilege, right? So it's the burden of command, but the command is the privilege. That's why we have the people that are fired up about doing what they're supposed to do. They're excited to have that extra weight. There's a reason not everyone's a head coach. There's a reason not everyone makes it to be a head coach. It's because not everyone's cut out to everything that comes with it. Same should be with our captains. Now, on that, so Mac, right, we said, hey, talent, performance, ultimately it enhances influence, right? If somebody is lights out, they're getting looks. What is a way, and by the way, we covered this last podcast, we touched on the podcast before, guess what? We're going to cover this every single time that opportunity presents itself, because it's really simple. Problem in life is, being simple isn't that simple, right? It requires work and a lot of reps. Can you cover, before we wrap this up, how can I, as a leader, as a coach, do a great job at setting the right people and growing their influence by how do I highlight the people that are doing the right thing versus just highlighting the talented people?
Sure. You know, first of all, leaders have two additional standards. I'll come back to additional. Accomplish the mission, take care of our people, right? Those are the two standards that leaders have to meet and exceed every single day. But they're additional standards because you have to be a great teammate first. Set the example and hold your teammates accountable. That has to come first. And even though leading by example is not an effective strategy, just doing the work and hoping that your teammates do it, that's not going to get us to where we want to get to. But you got to be a great teammate. And part of that is, when we talk about setting the example, that's living up to the values of your organization, right? So when we talk about those core values, bringing people into our program who fit who we are, we want to make sure that our leaders, now they can't just be great teammates. They have to use their influence to help our team accomplish the mission. But first and foremost, they have to fit our core values. So we have to know what our values are, and we have to make sure that our leaders truly embody them. They might be the best player, but if they don't embody those values, well, frankly, why should anyone else in the program, right? Or why should anyone else listen to them when they're trying to use their influence, right? A couple ways we can give people more influence, right? Generally, we get influence in two ways. One, through who we are. Talented, charismatic, popular, funny, whatever the case is, right? Second way, though, is through your title. Captain, senior, starter, whatever the case is, right? Of the two, who you are is much more important. You get far more influence that way, right? But titles do matter. If all things are equal, which most of the time they're not, but all things being equal, a head coach has more influence than an assistant coach. A major in the Marine Corps has more influence than a sergeant, all things being equal, right? So naming somebody a captain gives them more influence, which can be a really good thing. If you have the right person that you've explained their roles and responsibilities to, and they embody your core values, sure, giving them more influence that they can use to wield to help the team accomplish the mission, that can be a good thing. But realize when we have somebody that doesn't embody our core values, that maybe doesn't want that burden of command, and we give them more influence by naming them captain or whatever the case may be, that can be a bad thing, right? That can backfire for us. Anything you want to add to that, Omri?
Yeah, I think to wrap this up, one thing that I'll highlight, and this, we'll keep this short and simple. External factors, media, fans, maybe even your AD, maybe your, you know, the general manager, they're going to value performance. They're going to celebrate those extremely talented individuals that are producing stats for our team. Let them celebrate performance. Let them value performance. If we want to do things the right way, we're going to value our values. Therefore, we are going to celebrate people and elevate the people that do things the right way, the way we are expected to do them as an organization. We do that, it's going to be, if we do that in an effective and consistent manner, it is going to be clear who needs to be the leader of the team. And guess what? We're going to set everyone up for success if they want to be a part of that process. And if not, all good, but they're never getting the keys. And that's all I have for today. So yeah, Mac, how about we close this out? And I think for the next episode, how about we start breaking down the process of the selection development of team captains? I think there's a lot of light we can shed and perspective that I'd be happy to share, and hopefully people find it beneficial. So hand it over to you, and looking forward to the next time.
Well, sounds good. Thanks, Omri. The program and this podcast mission is to develop great teammates and leaders to create world-class teams. We hope we have done so. For more in-depth conversations, check out the program podcast and gain unparalleled insight into team cohesion, leadership development, and personal growth with program CEO and founder Eric Kapitulik, as he speaks with corporate leaders, professional athletes, coaches, and authors. Our book, The Program, Lessons from Elite Military Units for Creating and Sustaining High-Performance Leaders and Teams, can be found at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. To sign up to receive our monthly letter on leadership or to learn more about the program and our leadership development and team-building services for your own team, go to theprogram.org. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at theprogram.org, and on LinkedIn at the-program-LLC. If you have any questions or would like us to address a particular topic in a future podcast, please contact us. Finally, if you have enjoyed today's On the Attack podcast, please leave a review of it on whatever platform you have accessed it from. Thank you, and attack.